May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, Mrs. Stein, a rich tourist, goes to Paris to visit the art galleries. And she decides to hire the services of a guide to show her around the art gallery, the Louvre. "Oh," said Mrs. Stein, looking at a painting, "that's a Monet, isn't it?" "No, madam, almost. It's a Manet," replies the guide. "And that one, it's a Pissarro." No, I'm sorry, madam, but that's a Rembrandt." "Oh, I see. Well, now that one I'm sure of. That's a Picasso, isn't it?" "No, madam, that's a mirror." So here we are gathered on this first Sunday of Advent, and we get the name for this season, Advent, from a verse in today's gospel passage. Matthew writes, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." The coming of the Son of Man. And in Latin, that reads Adventus Filii Hominis, with the word Adventus meaning coming or arrival. So from Adventus or coming, we get Advent. As the name Advent suggests, in this season, in the run-up to Christmas, we're awaiting the coming of the Christ child, and we're also reminded and encouraged to develop an attitude of anticipation for the second coming of the Messiah. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man, which is a bit ambiguous. It might be a way of saying any human being, as the prophet Daniel, for example, used that term in his visions. Or in the way that Jesus used the term Son of Man, it refers to a Messiah figure. Jesus said, "For just as life went on in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." As in the days of Noah was a time when everybody was forgetting about God, and so it is in the West today, more and more people are forgetting about God. And is that a sign that we're heading into the end times? Well, I don't know. But forgetting about God is not new. Throughout their history, the Israelites did it, and presumably people were also falling away from their faith in the 16th century. Somebody said an interesting point at Bible study, and that was that in the Reformation time in England, if people didn't go to church, they would get a fine from the government. So some people needed the threat of a fine to get them to church. Could you imagine if we did that today? It would topple the government for sure. Jesus also said, "Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." So keep awake, keep watch, and we may be physically awake, but are we awake in the fullness of that meaning? To keep awake or to watch, as Jesus says, is a call to vigilance, to eager anticipation, and to constant readiness every day. So are our hearts and minds alert and vigilant on that spiritual level, watching for and discerning the presence of the Lord? Matthew Henry says in his Bible commentary that to watch implies not only to believe that our Lord will come, but to desire that he would come, to be often thinking of his coming and always looking for it. So keeping a disposition of desire for the Lord would also be a great way of maintaining a gracious, steady temperament. In all of this, one certainly gets the sense that we have to work at it, to actively desire and seek the coming of Christ, so that when he does arrive, at the unexpected hour, we're told, we will be ready. There's a Greek word for this end of time occurrence, and it's called Parousia. Apparently, the coming of the Son of Man, or Parousia, can refer both to a future and to a presence of the Lord that is in the here and now. So you might say that the coming of Christ is both already and not yet. He has come to us in the Christ child, and before us, and before he ascended into heaven, he did say that he would be with us always. So he has come, he is here now, but we're also told that he will come again. So this is an in-between time. Jesus also said, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. So I suppose if you put that into modern parlance, two women, one will be grinding with a, what do you call those, mixers. So what did Jesus mean by this? Some in the evangelical Protestant community refer to this as the rapture. And rapture comes from the Latin word rapio, or that means to seize or to carry off. According to this belief, at the time of Christ's second coming, the wicked will be left behind on earth, while the righteous will be suddenly snatched out of the world and the world's destruction, and they'll be taken away to be with the Lord forever in heaven. So that's one way that some people look at it. Scholars say that it's highly questionable that this is what Jesus meant. For one, there is no reference to the moral character of the one taken or the one left. Jesus' focus seems to be more on the suddenness and the unexpectedness of their being taken. Prior to being taken, the two are together, showing that there is no separation made between the unrighteous and the righteous until judgment. Or perhaps the point is that apparently similar people have different fates. Some are saved and others are not. And we may seem alike in our eyes, but God sees the true character of each of us. Jesus says, "Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." And it's interesting to note that your Lord is plural, meaning that Jesus is not just talking about individual salvation and you. We are part of a community of faith, and our eternal destiny is entwined and intertwined with others and their eternal destiny. So we're all in this together. And finally, in verse 44, Jesus says, "Therefore you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." And in reflecting on this passage, I think the point that I draw from it is the readiness aspect. Are we awake and attentive, vigilant, eagerly watching for Christ, and ready in our daily lives as we await his coming, or not? Have we become tired or disillusioned and given up? As we go about the mundane activities of daily life, are we awake and aware of the bigger picture? Are we tuned in to the kingdom of God? Are we ready for Christ's coming? Our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah and the psalm and the passage from Paul's letter to the Romans and Matthew's gospel, they all speak of this day of the Lord, the apocalypse, the coming of the Messiah, and the hope that God will one day restore humanity and redeem this broken world. It's been taught for millennia. The prophets preached as early as the 8th century BCE about it. So, you know, realistically, it's been several millennia, and the Lord hasn't yet returned, as the prophecies foretell. But I have to say that living, you know, taking this message to heart and living each day the best that you can, and being awake and alert, and seeking Christ and looking for him. Like, don't get cynical and think, yeah, right. It's not as if he's going to come tomorrow. But it's like, you don't know that he's not. But the point I'm trying to make is that you get so much more out of life when you're awake and alert and taking the message to heart and truly seek God every day. And guaranteed, 100%, your life will be much more exciting and joyful and alive and filled with love and all those things that we do desire. So that message is not just, you know, we're waiting for Christ at the end of time, but every day be awake and receive him now in the fullness of his presence. And just finally, on Friday, it was Black Friday. You know, get out there and shop until you drop. And that's a message that it seems more and more people are taking that on board, you know, as if they have nothing better to do with their lives and being seduced by this commercialism. So our message today is very countercultural. We're not looking for the best bargain and the best deal, but we're looking for Christ. We're looking for God. It's something that we desire. It's something that we yearn for. And for this, we give our thanks and praise through Christ our Lord. Amen.